Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life. Yeah, yeah.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett. I'm the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church here in Ottawa, and I have been pastoring there for 26 years. And one of the things I love to do is to open God's Word and see how it connects with our world right now. And I'm so glad that you've tuned in on your radio this morning. You're starting your day with God's Word is a really great place to start. Of course, if you're not a morning person or you want to re-listen to this program or get the manuscript for this program, you can find us at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. And there you can keep up to date with what's happening around Good News Christian Ministries. I want to say a special welcome to our international listeners. I'm glad that you found us on the internet and are listening. I hope that you will find this program an encouragement. This morning, I want to talk about God's unrelenting love. The dictionary says the word unrelenting means unyielding in strength, severity, or determination. The love of God, the unrelenting love of God, keeps on coming after you. It does not fade. It does not back off. It persists. It perseveres. It does not diminish. The unrelenting love of God. I believe that some of you really need to hear this message right now. You may be discouraged or feel far away from God, or you're really wondering about God. Please hear what God has to say from His Word. And there are some of you who know in your head that God loves you, but it has yet to sink into your heart. My prayer for you is that you will know at the core of your being that God really loves you. For when you know that the love that God has for you in Christ, it gives you this confidence to walk in this world. When you know the love that God has for you, it allows you to walk well in the face of trial and tribulations. If you know the love that God has, even when life goes sideways, even when you fail and fall, even when you sin, if you know God's love, it allows you to get up again, dust yourself off, and walk back into the fray. David was contemplating God, and he said in Psalm 139, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. When life is great and I'm on the mountaintop, God, you're there. When life is brutal, everything's going wrong, you're there. Your presence is there. Your love is there." You remember David. He's the one who lusted after another man's wife and used his power as king to seduce her. And then he got her pregnant, and then he conspired to bring her husband back from the front lines of the war so that he could be with his wife, and then they would pretend that the baby was his. But that didn't work, so he conspired to have the husband placed in a no-win situation in war, and essentially he murdered the husband. And yet God's presence continued to chase after God. Oh, sure, there were consequences. You know, those who the Lord loves, He disciplines. Baby died. But David and Bathsheba had another baby, and they named him Solomon. And the Bible records that God loved Solomon, and God loved David, and God loved Bathsheba. All the way through the Psalms, you see David talking to God. And even when he turns his back on God, God's love is there. Even when he argues with God, God's love is there. Even when he disagrees with God and runs from God, God's love is there. Whether he's on the mountaintop or in the valley, God's love is there. You remember the Apostle Paul. He was formerly was known as Saul, and he threatened Christians and persecuted Christians and killed Christians. And then he became a Christian. And then he looks back over his former life, and he's tempted towards guilt. He's tempted to wallow in self-loathing. He sees all that he has done. He sees all that has been done to him. Now listen to his inspired words from Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. The love of God, it is not fragile, it is not soft, it is not dependent on circumstances, it is unrelenting, it keeps coming. The trials of life cannot stop it, the demons of hell cannot thwart it, even your opposition to God cannot keep it at bay. The love of God is unrelenting and it keeps on coming and coming and coming. And when you have sinned against God, you need to know that, and when you have broken your own code and you confess to God for the 100th time, the same thing, the love of God keeps on coming. It is unrelenting. You need to know that when you have slipped into a place in your spiritual life where you're lukewarm and where you've grown somewhat indifferent to God, the love of God is unrelenting. It keeps on coming and coming and coming. You need to know that in the middle of your doubts and uncertainties, and you're wondering if God is even there. The love of God is unrelenting. We're going to listen to an oldie but goldie good song. It's sung by George Beverly Shea, and he is singing this great old hymn, The Love of God.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell.
We can only see a little of the ocean as we stand on the rocky shore, but out there beyond the eye's horizon, there's more. We can only see a little of God's loving, a few rich treasures from his mighty store, but out there beyond the eye's horizon, there's more. There's more. Could we with ink the ocean fill? Or were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill? And every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. The scroll contained the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. Shall forevermore endure.
The love of God is vast and measureless and strong. But here's what you also need to know. God's love has a purpose. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 says this. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. God expressed his love by sending his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. God's love has a purpose. The story of the gospel does not end at God's love. The story of the gospel is that God hopes that his love will elicit a response in us. He hopes that we will love him in return. His hope is his love will win us over. Our love will never be on the same level as God's love. His love is unrelenting. Our love is simply a response to love. God's fondest hope is that we would respond to his love so that the love would be mutual. And when the love is mutual, there is a relationship. God's purpose in loving us is that we would walk in relationship with him. A relationship with God takes more than you would think. But God has done everything that is needed to have a relationship with him. The Bible says that we were dead in our transgressions and sins. It's really hard for God, who is the author of life, the giver of life, the source of life, the one who is life, to have a relationship with a dead person. So what did he do? He sent Jesus into the world that we might live through him. He brought us from death to life. He made us alive in Christ so that we could walk in relationship with him. Not only that, it's hard for God, who is holy and perfect, to have a relationship with sin. He can't. The Bible says that God can't even look on sin. So what does he do? He says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. What did he do? He sent his Son to deal with our sin. He paid the price for our sin. He took away our sin. So the love of God did everything that was necessary to make a way that we can enter into a relationship with him. He made the way that we could be made alive. He made a way so that our sin could be dealt with. And this all comes out of his unrelenting love. But just because a road is built does not mean that it's traveled on. Just because a way is made does not mean that the way is taken. Just because love is given does not mean that love is returned. God's love has a purpose. Its purpose is to bring us into relationship with himself. God has made a path, but whether we walk on that path depends on our response to his love. God has made a way for us to be truly alive, but it depends on our response to his love, whether or not we're made truly alive. God has made a way for our sins to be forgiven and dealt with, but it depends on our response to his love, whether that happens or not. Too often, God's love goes unrequited. His love goes unresponded to. I knew a man, I'll call him Harry. Harry had grown up in a Christian home with Christian parents, and every Sunday, Harry's parents would take him to Sunday school and to church, and Harry heard about God's love and learned of God's love. As is often the case, Harry hit his teenage years and rebelled. He got into drinking and gambling, and he especially liked to play the ponies. In his early 20s, I believe, Harry was invited back to the church that he grew up in. There was a special speaker that night. And the preacher preached on God's love and how God wanted a relationship with his people. And the power of the Holy Spirit was heavily upon Harry with conviction. It was so much so that he couldn't sit in the pew. He got up and he paced back and forth in the church foyer while listening to the preacher preach. Finally, the minister gave an invitation to get right with the Lord. He invited people who wanted to renew their relationship with God or enter into a relationship with God to come to the front of the church and to be prayed for. Harry stopped his pacing. A decision had been made. He then turned and he walked out the church doors. He left God and the church behind. He felt God's love and God's draw, but he wanted a relationship with the world more than he wanted a relationship with God. God's love went unrequited. Well, Harry's vices got the better of him. He became an alcoholic. He ended up in losing his family, losing his business. You know, it is the role of the enemy of our souls to kill and steal and destroy. And wow, did he do a good job on Harry's life. But even in the middle of Harry's life blowing up, God's love was unrelenting. I don't know if he ever did get back on the path to a relationship with God, but I do know that God kept on calling. That's the thing about the unrelenting love of God. It doesn't give up. It doesn't let up. But sometimes the further we get from the path, the harder to believe that there is a path back. I haven't known an alcoholic that has liked who they are. And a person, there's a lot of people who figure that if they don't like who they are, then how can God like who they are? How could God love them? That, of course, is stinking thinking, as the saying goes. God's love is stronger, deeper, wider than any love that we could ever muster. Don't judge God by your standards of what is lovable, because God's love goes way deeper than ours. You know, there are some of you listening who have never responded to God's love. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to walk with you, and he wants to make you fully alive. He wants to forgive you your sin. He wants to enter into a relationship with you. His love for you is not in question. He loves you, but you will only have a relationship if you respond to his love. I want to urge you that even while I'm talking, for you to talk silently to God. Tell him that you want a relationship with him. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and come into your life, to make you spiritually alive. Tell him you want to walk with him. If you do that, his promise is to make you alive. He will make you new, and he will do what he says he will do. God loves you, and he's done everything that he can to enter into a relationship with you. So the ball is in your court. Will you respond to his love by loving him in return? Now I want to talk to those of you who have entered into a relationship with Jesus. And it may have been a long time ago. You need to come to grips with God's relentless love as well. For some of you, living out the Christian life has been a real challenge. You've seen how awesome God is. You've seen his purity and his holiness. And when you see that, and when you see who you are, and all the times knowing what you are and how you've blown it, you're wondering, can God really love me? You think, at least you must be a second-class citizen. You know, he loves me because he has to. He loves the whole world, so I guess I'm included in the whole world. But he just loves me because he needs to. I want you to know that God's love is deep and it is personal and it is unrelenting towards you. It keeps on coming. You are not too flawed for God. You haven't blown it too many times for God. Even your doubts and your fears and your unbelief have not made God stop loving you. His love is unrelenting towards you. But it is a love with a purpose. And it is still the same purpose. He wants to make you alive, fully alive by his Spirit. He wants to cleanse you from your sin and make you whole. God's love has a purpose. He wants to walk in relationship with you. Thing is that you can't boil a love relationship down to a formula or a ritual or a checklist. If you really want to continue the journey you are on, you're going to have to do more than ask the question, what would Jesus do? You're going to have to hear from Jesus and respond to Jesus. After all, isn't that what a relationship is? God's love is more than a theory or a theology or a philosophy. God's love is real, and the relationship that he wants with you is real. You know, this is so deceptively simple that we often overlook it. We become indifferent to our relationship with God. It's not so much that we're doing bad things. We're just plodding along, doing our thing. But our relationship with God gets sidelined from time to time. We can be doing all the right things, in fact, and even the religious things. We can show up to church. We can do and do good acts of kindness. But our relationship with God grows cool. You know, there was a New Testament church like this, and I want you to listen to the words of Jesus spoken to this church. They are words of correction, and they are words of rebuke, but they are words spoken out of deep love and a desire for relationship. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 says this, "Write this letter to the angel of the church at Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know all the things you do, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other, but since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by the fire. And then you will be rich. You will buy white garments from me so that you will not be shamed by your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes so that you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love, so be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, I am standing at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. The love of God is unrelenting. It keeps on coming and coming, but it has a purpose. The purpose is that you walk in relationship with God. I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey. Maybe you have yet to begin, and today is the first time that you're going to enter into that relationship with God. I want you to know that he really loves you, and his fondest hope is that you would be in relationship with him. Invite him into your life, ask him to forgive you of your sin and to make you alive. Tell him that you want to respond to his love. He said, I love you, and he's waiting for you to say, I love you back. God always, always, always keeps his promises. Some of you are journeying and have come to know Christ, but you are journeying through a wilderness. You're trying to figure out how to deal with obstacles, and some of you are saying, God, where are you? I'm thirsty. God, where are you? I want to know that God's seeming absence does not indicate his apathy. He loves you. He's working out a plan in and through you. And although you might not see it right now, God is going to come through. Be patient and look for him. Others of you have got to the point where you said, I've grown enough. I've got everything I need. I've got a good job and a good life, and you become indifferent to God. God says, my whole purpose of my love was that you walk in relationship with me. My purpose is not being fulfilled in you right now. Will you turn from your indifference? You think you're rich and you have everything, but you don't recognize that spiritually you're poor. Jesus says, I'm standing at the door of your heart and I'm knocking. I'm asking, will you enter this relationship with me afresh and anew? Will you respond to God's unrelenting love by opening the door and asking him to come into your life? The ball is in your court. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that it keeps on coming and coming after us. Lord, I pray for those who have yet to enter into a relationship with you, that they would do that even right now. I pray, Lord, for those who have a relationship with you, but it's distant, I pray that they would open the doors of their heart wide to allow you to connect with them in a deeper, more substantial way. Lord, I ask these things in your name. Amen. Well, thank you for listening. If Good News in the Morning has been a factor in your faith journey, we'd love to hear your story. We get these notes about how you've heard messages on Good News in the Morning and how they've encouraged you. And to hear from you really encourages us. You can contact us by email or Twitter via the website or goodnewsinthemorning.ca. I want to thank you for listening. This program is on the air by the grace of God and the donations of many faithful people. And if you are a follower of Jesus and you can help us financially, we would really appreciate your assistance in carrying out this ministry. You can help us by making a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. You can also give by going to our website, goodnewsinthemorning.ca, and there's a PayPal link there. As you continue on this day, my prayer for you is that you would encounter God's love, that you would encounter God for who he is, loving and gracious, and that you would encounter a God who is calling you to be all that you were created to be through his Son, Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to go out today by listening to Stuart Townsend sing How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wreck. catch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. Ooh. I will not boast in no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know. Have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.